it's Niall Boylan. What a very interesting day. I tell you what, we could talk about immigration on this podcast every single day and get a massive reaction because it's the number one thing that we get texts and WhatsApp about. We're not going to talk about immigration today. We will be talking about it on Monday in relation to the proposed accommodation in Tala. And if you are from the Tala area, we would love to hear from you if you want to get involved in that show on Monday, because I know there's a protest in Tala and St. John's on Monday. So if you do want to get in touch with us, it's 085 100 2255 is the WhatsApp number. Just send us a message. We will get back to you and arrange for you to come on the show. But it is absolutely so divisive to watch what's going on in this country. The people of Newtown, Mount Kennedy, many of them just concerned citizens. People of Coolock, many of them just concerned citizens. The people of Tala, many of them just concerned citizens. But then again, they just get written off as these right-wing head cases, which is so wrong. And the government are doing this. They're doing this to people. They're playing a very dangerous game. The polls have just shown across Europe that immigration is the number one political policy at the moment. And if the government don't do something about it and don't start listening to the people, they're out the door, and please close it after them. Yesterday, of course, Micheál Martin said he won't be doing a U-turn on the hate speech laws, and he's motoring ahead with them, which just goes to show you these morons are not listening to you. Just like they didn't listen in the referendum when you said no and they were saying yes, they're still not listening. Simon Harris said at the Ardèche, we're going to listen to the people. They're clearly not listening to the people. It's like a bad DJ in a nightclub who can't read the dance floor and everybody leaves because the music is crap. Well, that's exactly what it is. I'm sorry, Micheál. I'm sorry, Simon. I'm sorry, Green Party. I'm sorry, Sinn Féin. I'm sorry, everybody. But the music is crap. You're making an absolute bollocks of the country at the moment. And people are not happy about it. They want you to change your policy. They want you to do something. They want you to stop the division in society between people. You've got the left and the right. We shouldn't have that. We're centrists. Most of us are just centrists. Most of us are generous people. Most of us are happy to help people if we can. But stop pushing people so far that you're making them concerned, frightened, frustrated, and feeling voiceless. We will be covering that on Monday, by the way, that protest. If you are from the Tala area, please get in contact with us. Now, today, we decide something else, which is quite divisive, by the way, which is religion. Now, I often say, and people know I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, although I would never rule out the existence of a God. But in saying that, here's the thing. Religion in schools. There was a debate last night with Katie Hannon up front. And I know if you believe or you think we should forbid religious dogma, creationism, religious instruction, or the ethos to be taught at public schools. Do you believe education should be 100% secular? In other words, just neutral. Now, of course, you can teach, you know, theocracy, and you can teach all about the different religions and what they are, but not actually tell people that you have to believe in them. In the United States, for example, in public schools, right through high school, you can't teach religion without running foul of the First Amendment prohibition of government establishment of religion. In other words, you're not allowed to teach about one particular religion. You can teach about the history of different religions, but you can't have an ethos in a public school in America. And according to one person online, it says, our state schools are public instructions. They should be open to all. Schools should also be places where minds are opened and children encounter ideas they may never come across at home or elsewhere. The fact that faith schools are permitted to give religious instruction rather than a balanced education about religious and non-religious worldwide views that is increasingly given in a community school is wrong. So there is an argument as well that religion, in particular the Catholic religion, because we are in Ireland of course, does produce students with good morals and good standards, and that Catholic schools statistically worldwide perform better and have better results. And according to research, religious students fare off better in life academically. But why? I don't know why is the answer to that question, by the way. But why? Maybe they have a different upbringing, a better upbringing. Maybe their parents are stricter. I don't know. But that is the truth of it. Statistically, they do better. And what about those other things in school? Confirmation and communion. Now, they're not really religious anymore, are they? They've become Irish traditions, like Christmas and funerals and weddings. And Easter, they're all religious occasions, but they've become traditional occasions rather than Easter. I celebrate them and I'm an atheist. So they've become traditions rather than, you know, I suppose, a religious occasion. I mean, what child really walks down, you know, the church thinking, you know, I love Holy God on the day of their communion and confirmation? Most of them are thinking, how much money am I going to make and don't I look well? So, but what do you think? Is it time for religion, confirmation, communion, all that kind of stuff to be removed from schools completely and done privately at home? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Load of people to go to. And by the way, please, I want to try and make it quick with everybody today because I've about 20 or 30 calls to get through. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, afternoon, how are you?
Good afternoon.
I watched that programme last night. They were great interest. And of course, you had the usual suspects. Omidan O'Riordan was on the panel.
Aon. Yeah, just I have to correct you, obviously. Yeah, go on.
Spoke now his usual boy. And there was a teacher there, of course, who was very careful about hedging his bets, saying that he respects his principal, he respects the ethos of the school. But at the same time, he feels that, you know, should it be taken out of the schools? There was somebody from the Catholic Herald on as well. And then there was a Fianna Fáil TD on who was very much pro keeping the ethos in the school. No, I said this to you before and I'll repeat it again. I am sick to the death now of being told that we should take religion out of the schools. I told you what should be done if there's even a scintilla of a move towards that. All the dioceses should close, the Catholic schools should close the schools and say, over to you now, Mr. Taoiseach, Mr. Minister for Education, go in and find places for those kids now. We were educating them all the time along. We'd been doing it for youngsters, right? And now you want to take the whole ethos out of the school, right? So feck off now and get schools to these people now. We are closing the schools. I watched in, there was a couple of Muslim guys in the audience, and they were young, and they said that they were being left out when the religion was being taught and the preparation for the staff, whatever, right? Well, if they're feeling left out, go home and tell their parents that they no longer wish to go to that school and their parents can take them over.
But can I just say something? And by the way, Ireland is a predominantly Catholic country. I accept that, by the way. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, the kind of rights of the minority have to be, I suppose, abolished for the rights of the majority. And I get that. But in saying that, you know, to be fair to them, you know, if they're teaching Catholicism in the school, should there not be a class for Islam as well for those students who would be Muslim? And there's quite a few Muslims.
That school is predominantly, if it's a faith-based Catholic school, a diocesan Catholic school, the only religion taught there is Catholicism. And if you don't know
that, that would be fine, John. That would be, and I agree with you 100%. That would be perfectly fine if, for example, people had a choice. But the problem is we've 3,200 national schools in Ireland, for example, and 93% of those are Catholic. So that's a problem because those two Muslim lads, for example, they don't really have a choice because the Educate Together schools, they're few and far between. They might have to travel 40 or 50 miles just to get to one, depending on where they live. So they don't really have a choice. So my idea before, and I said this to you before, why not take back half of the schools in the state, leave the other half Catholic ethos if you want to, take back half of the schools and then have them non-denominational or secular? Would that not be a fairer idea?
But why should that happen at first place? And do you see
because half the population don't practice religion.
Do you see any demonstrations like you mean there are outside schools with parents carrying placards saying in the Catholic ethos no diverse this or diverse that? You don't see it because people are quite happy, even though they mightn't attend mass and stuff like that themselves, but they're quite happy for their boys and girls, sons and daughters to go to a Catholic faith based school. And I'm sick of the tail wagging the dog. If I got off a plane in Saudi Arabia and I walked around with a big crucifix, I wouldn't get to the end of the street. But we're facilitating our worrying about who might be left out here or there when the majority of the people going there want a faith-based education.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Stephen, I mean, look, it is a bit of a sticky argument. I've been talking about this for years, by the way, you know, on the radio as well, you know, this idea of religion in schools. I mean, is it beneficial? Because statistically, it seems to be beneficial.
Well, the lady on the panel tried to make that point in terms of, you know, we're doing very well in terms of math and literacy and everything else. And she seemed to try to infer that was because of the good, upstanding Catholic ethos of our schools, rather than the quality of our teachers and the curriculums and so on.
Well, I'm talking about worldwide statistics. Worldwide statistics, Catholic schools perform better. And religious schools and religious students perform better.
Yeah, but do you need to have a religion to kind of guide the practices of a school or a hospital or God forbid, a government or something like that, you know?
You don't use the word God forbid, you know?
Yeah. Right. I realise the irony of what I'm saying. But
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with the kind of the 1970s, you know, Catholic iron fist coming down on you, demanding you read your catechism, you know, and believe in Holy God and all that kind of stuff. And that's not really in schools anymore. I mean, you don't really see that in schools. There's just an ethos there. The ethos is maybe that the kids have to say their prayers in the morning. If you don't want to say them, you don't have to. You know, and there's this kind of background ethos. It's not really a big deal anymore, is it?
No, I don't think it is, to be frank and honest. But I do think that, you know, this notion of, well, if you don't like the Catholic school, go somewhere else. It's not like we have a Muslim school, a Polish school, a Jewish school, and every other denomination or ethnicity or, we don't have enough schools in the country to, you know, say, right, well, you're Orthodox Jew, you go over there. You're Orthodox Catholic, you go over there.
The answer is the American system, whereby there is no ethos in public schools. It keeps everybody happy then, does it?
It means that you don't have a specific overarching governance, but it doesn't mean that you can't then talk about all of these world religions and, you know, humanism and all of these other ideas in the schools. You can do all of that. You should do all of that. You just shouldn't have rules in place that say that you must do X, Y, and Z. If you want to do communions and confirmations and that kind of religious preparation, do it outside. Enact 42.2 of the Constitution and let the parents take care of it.
Okay, sorry, John, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
Look, the parents are quite happy the way things are at the moment. And the one thing all the great faiths have in the world, right? Everyone, Judaism, the whole lot, Islam, everything, right? They all believe in a higher power. They all believe in a court to live by. And we've got a court to live by, which has served us very well, right? Down through the decades, right here, right? Catholicism, right?
Depends on who you talk to. That depends on who you talk to. You know what I mean?
It seems to be very easily forgotten, but anyway.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Like, I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, what happened in industrial schools and things, yeah, you're quite right there. There was false there, right? But there was also false there where they're trying to tell a child that you can be anything at 4 or 5 years of age. You can be a boy, you can be a girl. Right? That is so, so wrong.
But religion necessarily, with the greatest respect, religion necessarily doesn't keep that out of schools, if that's what your argument is, if that's what you're looking for.
Well, you see, you have the guys there now that went into the libraries, all of them who I know are there, they were trying to stop the books being taught, supplied to young kids. All of those guys are all Catholics. Oh, you might be one of them. They're all believers.
Now, I know people, by the way, I know people who kind of believe in two genders and not the multi-gender system, and they're not Catholics. I don't understand the connection between religion.
Religions have multiple genders, more than two,
Okay.
They all recognize more than two genders.
I don't know what gender God
is. There's only two genders. Don't be ridiculous. There's man and woman, boy and girl, and that's it. Don't stop
and Google Judaism and the six genders. Islam is the same.
Okay, we'll do that in another show, right? Let's Google that in another show. But sorry, Siri, I want to come to Morris. Stay with me, Stephen, if you can. Let me just go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, Niall. I just hopefully I'll get the same amount of time as the other two fellows, because I'll be able to get everything I have to say within that time frame.
Okay, Morris, yeah, go.
Like a lot of my people, for instance, I went to a Catholic school, I'd be a Catholic myself. The schools that you're talking about, for instance, they're owned by the Catholic Church, as in, you know, how they acquired it was because, let's say, a bachelor farmer 3 or 4 generations ago left a bit of land to the nuns or whoever it was, and they built the school.
They built the schools, yeah, I know.
And the only thing that the church that school gets money for is to pay the salaries of the teachers, and maybe the odd grant here and there, but they don't get a full grant. The people in the community have to raise money. For instance, like my own.
With the greatest respect, the Catholic Church are not paying for the schools in Ireland anymore. They own the property, but the schools are being funded by the state.
Yeah, but the people that want to change this, let's say, They don't have the generations of taxpayers to say, right, you know, why don't they fund their own schools? I'd be happy enough.
That doesn't make any sense, Morris. Don't get me wrong, we need a few schools because the population is increasing. So we do need a few more schools. We probably need another 400 or 500 schools, right?
Yeah, but
hold on.
They should be.
Go on.
Like my family and other people's families, they paid for the construction of those schools, paid for the expansion of those schools throughout the decades. You know, why should we then have to some of our tax money go towards those schools.
I mean, I could argue that my you know, great grandfather and everything paid for, you know, the government buildings, but I don't like the political party that's in there at the moment. So that's not really an argument. You know, time moves on. Your idea is that, okay, if you want schools for, you know, secular people or people who don't have religion, build a few more.
Pay for them.
Yeah, but pay for them and build a few. But that'd be unnecessary because we only have a certain population. We nearly have enough schools. We could do it another couple of hundred, right? And according to Simon Harris, they're going to start building a few schools, right? That's grand. But what I'm saying to you is, why would you want to build more schools than you actually need? Why not just take a few of the ones that we have and make them secular?
Yeah, but they should buy them, but they should use higher taxes.
Do you not think the church owes the state enough money? When you say buy them, should the religious orders wouldn't even trump up a few quid for the redress for the mother and baby homes. Just take them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is, Niall, my tax money shouldn't be used to buy schools for a particular group that hasn't contributed to the society.
Well, yes, it is. It's part of your social contribution. We have a civic duty and a social contribution. I mean, my taxes pay for a lot of stuff in this country that I don't agree with, but that's part of my social contribution.
Like, for instance, like this Muslim community, for instance, how long have they been? Like, a lot of these guys are tax drivers. Like, a lot of these people barely pay taxes that wouldn't even go towards the construction of these schools that they're getting. Like, there is two Muslim schools, primary schools. There is a Jewish primary school in Dublin. So, like,
very small. Yeah, the Jewish community is tiny in Ireland. Tiny.
But what I'm saying to you is, like, I'd be happy enough then, like, if we said, right, if we did a German system where. Or no, the Swedish system where each child is given a certain amount to cover, let's say they can send them to a school of their choice. Let's say we privatise everything. So that way, let's say I could use my money to go, that's allocated for per child.
That all seems very complicated. We have a public school system. Yeah, no, but now you're privatising schools. We have a public school system which works reasonably well. You know, now there is a problem that obviously people will claim that they're secular. 50% of the population are secular, by the way. You know, that don't practice religion.
I don't want my tax money to go to secular-run schools. Let the secular...
Then I could turn around and say, because I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist, I don't want my tax money paying for Catholic schools. How does that sound?
Well,
But I wouldn't say that.
That's perfect. That's perfect because...
But you don't decide what your taxes are spent on, Morris. You don't decide. That's why you vote a government in. You don't decide that. But I mean, okay, let me go to Stephen. Stephen, Morris is saying if you want your atheist schools or your secular schools or your Jewish schools or Islamic schools, pay for them yourselves.
Well, if communities can do that, then they do that. And, you know, I don't know whether the Jewish schools in particular got specific grant funding from government or whatever it is, but there is a Polish community school in Dublin as well, and they were all, you know, crowdfunded basically to provide education through Polish with Polish ideals and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can do it, by all means, go off and do it. But as you said, you know, we already have, you know, a good amount of schools in the country. We definitely need more because it's fine in Dublin, you have a school every stone throw away. But if you're in Galway or somewhere like that, you might have to traverse a county to get to your schools, you know, or a school of your choice. We can't put a dozen schools, we'll say, in every single postcode in the country.
No.
Because there'd be no room, number one, and they'd be woefully undersubscribed, number two. The system should be that if it's a publicly funded institution, it treats everybody the same. It talks about
it's
everybody
for
the
everybody.
Same.
Yeah, it's for everybody.
Period.
I mean, it is for everybody. And Morris, you know, I want to keep Irish traditions as well. I think they're important. And people have often said to me, I'm the most Christian atheist they've ever met. Because I believe in good morals. But I want to keep it for everybody too. But in saying that, you know, we have to understand and we have to recognise the fact that, you know, Ireland has changed in a sense that, and I don't mean, you know, with different people coming into the country. I'm talking about even the people that are here, the Irish people that are here. You know, most young people now don't have an affiliation to God anymore in religion. A lot of them don't. So they're not interested. They're not interested in the baby Jesus.
Yeah, but I'll tell you a quick thing, Niall. Would you rather the country go towards the way that Sweden's gone? Like, I'll give you an example in relation to a farming sense. Let's say the green field, as in Ireland, was always green, as representing the Catholic religion. And now the government, over a period of time, has been spraying Roundup on us. The land doesn't remain barren forever. something, other things start to grow on us. Mm. You have Islam, you have other things. And look at Sweden, for instance. Do people want the country to end up with the way Sweden has gone?
But what you're talking about is a different topic. You're talking about immigration, and we deal with that topic on a regular basis. And that's...
comparing the other religions to weeds. But,
this is true. I mean, look, I've talked about, you know, immigration policy, and yes, that needs to be addressed, Morris. Absolutely. Right, but we're not talking about that. Just for the purpose of the argument, pretend we're just talking about Indigenous Irish people living in a country where half of the Indigenous Irish people don't practice religion anymore. They don't. They're not. And leave aside even Islam and Judaism and everything else. I mean, when we talk about the Catholic religion, they don't practice it. Young people don't really go. I mean, many young people go to Mass, Morris? Go into a church on a Sunday.
10% of them, I'd say.
Ah, would you stop out of that? There isn't 10% of young people going to church. Not a chance. In my day, it would have been about, the church would have been maybe 30% young people. The rest would have been adults. If you go into an average church now on a Sunday, there used to be four masses on a Sunday. Now you'd be lucky if there's one. You go into an average church on a Sunday now, I would say that 95% of the parishioners in there are over the age of 50.
You'd be on the ball there, yeah.
Yep. And the numbers have declined dramatically. And by the way, I have respect for those people who go into church on a Sunday if that's what they want to do. And I respect their religion.
One more thing, Niall, is that, you know, both parents are working as well. That's why a lot of people, they want all the communion confirmations to be done. Like, they're entitled with their tax money to decide
I agree. Everybody's entitled to a say how their tax money is spent. But at the end of the day, as I said to you, we have a system whereby it's a kind of blunt instrument system when it comes to spending your tax money. There's stuff that gets, there's money gets spent in this country on things that I don't agree with. That's my money too, you know. Okay, well, hang on, because I got to get to a lot of people. Nuala's been waiting ages, and I've got to get to Lorenzo as well. Stay there, Stephen. Nuala, hi.
Oh, yeah. As far as I can see in the Constitution, there is no specific religion mentioned, and that parents...
Well, God is mentioned. Well, God is mentioned a lot of times in the Constitution.
Well, I'm talking about the part to do with the state acknowledges the primary natural education of the children. Doesn't mention God there.
No.
And guarantees and respects inalienable rights and the duty of parents to provide according to their means for the religious and moral and intellectual, physical and social education, that's already there. And any different religion can set up its own school, and the teachers will be paid by the teachers in the private schools, which all of our left and right and whatever in between politicians send their kids to. Clongowes, St. Michael's, Gonzaga, Cistercians, Roscrea, all them, not even the left, the leftist left of the Labour Party have been sent their kids to these places. And as well as that, developers, you can see the developers are well kind of represented in Clongowes and all those things. So there's an
Yeah, but no, those schools are not available to most of us. Those schools are out of the reach of most of people.
Yeah, if you had money and you wanted to keep your kids a little bit isolated and know the right people, you don't send them to the community school, do you? And the community schools were always there, and the texts before that, and they weren't belong to any ethos.
Yeah, but what happens if you're not wealthy and you can't send your kids?
I didn't see.
So, Nuala, you listen, sorry. What happens if you're not wealthy, Nuala? And you don't have the money to send your kid to one of those schools. So you have to go to the standard public schools like everybody else. The point Stephen is making is that we have to satisfy everybody in the audience, so to speak. And at the moment, the audience is at 50% religious.
But you miss my point. My point was the day, and even now, in a lot of the community schools, and those by GRETB, are not nominational. And I don't see the ordinary broadcasters sending their kids to the community schools. How many people in the Dáil, or even those running for election, have been to community schools? You might find one or two in Sinn Féin, but I don't think you'll have found in any of the other parties have any of them been to the community schools.
Well, here's an interesting fact for you. In the United Kingdom, most private schools are actually Catholic. And a lot of people, by the way, there's a waiting list of years to get your kid into a Catholic school because they perform better.
And not only that, but I had two of my brothers were teachers, but one of them was saying that you know, he did the convent school first, and then they started up a community school. And he said the community school, there was no discipline, in, you know, for teachers and that. And there was all vying with each other, who'll get the principal and who'll get this job and who'll get that job. And he said it was torture to teach in the community school, where it, you know, the other, it was very well run and there was discipline. It was, you know, the
Well, let me just put that point to Stephen. You know, Stephen, you know, if you really want to send your kids to a non-denominational school, you know, these broadcasters and politicians can send their kids off to these posh private schools. But apart from anything else, I mentioned there that in the UK, you know, there's waiting lists for years to get into Catholic schools, to get kids into Catholic schools because they perform better. Now, I know we said this at the start of the show, but statistically, I'm looking at the stats here, like they are overwhelming. That kids, it doesn't matter about the religion, just the fact that it has a Catholic ethos, they perform better. Why is that?
And that's, I don't know. I haven't done any kind of research into it. I went to a Catholic school for primary and national school and things like that, and I think I've turned out relatively okay, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Some would argue.
The central point... plenty have. But the central point is still that, you know, if the only school within 2 or 3 or 4 kilometres of a person's house is the Catholic school, the Catholic school should be catering for anybody and everybody within the catchment area. And there are, like, saying that there are waiting lists for a Catholic school, there are waiting lists for every school in this country.
But beside me here, there's an Educate Together one side within 5 minutes and a Catholic school at the other side, another 5 minutes. Mm. The Catholic school is full of people from all, you know, parents would have been from all over the world. Mm. They Educate Together is a yuppie crowd, all white. And I've noticed that if you go to the Gaelscoileann, about 1% would be from the traveller community or the Asian community. They'd be mostly white. So there's a lot of this kind of ethos, kind of, you know, yuppie thing going on where the people, they use these schools to stream. And to stream their own kids, that they'll know the right people and they'll go to the private kind of school.
Don't parents have a right to decide what school they send their children to?
They do. And the thing,
well,
that's
there you
what
go.
I mean.
But
not to be streaming the kids and you know, that you just kind of want to be yuppie.
You know, I understand the point, and a lot of people would say that in relation to particularly Gael schools. You should be sending your kid to a Gael school for the right reasons, i.e. that they're teaching them to learn, or to teach in Irish. But a lot of people send their kids to Gael schools, and you know this as well as I do, Stephen, because they believe that most people in Gael schools will be Irish, of Irish descent, and they won't be immigrants. So that's why they send their kids to Gael schools. And that's why there's a waiting list for Gael schools as well now. Let me go to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, Lorenzo. Lorenzo, I don't know what the story in Italy is, but I'm assuming most schools are Catholic in Italy.
So, no, the 99% of schools in Italy are like, they're not religious.
Oh, they're not religious.
Only private institutions are religious.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, I can tell you this as well. In Italy, I was to the kind of public school, and then I moved to the religious private institution for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that my grades in the private institution were very, very higher, extremely high compared to the others. To the public one.
Okay.
And it was not because the teaching was better. It was just because you were paying, so...
you wanted to get value for money.
No, I'm not joking. I mean, we did Latin. So I remember that after 2 years in the public school, I went there, and the same Latin text that I was translating, you know, you basically were translating from Latin to Italian. And I remember that the same version, the same text that I was translating in 1 hour in the public school, they were giving us 2 hours, and it was even shorter.
I don't know whether people remember this, but in Irish schools back in the 1950s and 60s, we used to teach Latin. And all the masses that were said on a Sunday were in Latin in Ireland. The Latin masses, going back a long, long time ago. Now, they stopped doing it years ago because Latin is a really interesting language. But in relation to what you're saying there, see, there is an argument that when you're in a religious instruction school, that the rules are stricter around morals, you know, discipline, uniform, all those kind of things. Like, if you look at the Educate Together schools, it's kind of like a free-for-all, isn't it?
Well, we don't, in Italy, we don't have uniforms, for example.
I like uniforms. I think uniforms is a good thing.
Well, I think as well that is a good thing in terms of everyone is equal.
Yep. There's no classism. You know what I mean? There's no classism. Nobody knows how rich or poor you are. You know?
Well, I agree with that, but I don't think that is linked to religion.
I'm just saying the religious schools tend to be stricter when it comes to rules. You know what I mean? Whereas, look at the Educate Together schools. I wouldn't be a fan of them personally myself, right? You know, they don't have homework. They don't have uniforms. They don't have, you know, they're very lax in their rules. They call the teachers by their first names. All this kind of carry on. And it just doesn't wash with me. That's not discipline.
Well, that's how I was taught, for example.
Oh, yeah, no, you turned out okay.
Yeah, but you know what? Even to link to what you were saying, it's true. When we speak to people within our friends about school, and when we say, yeah, we are trying to apply for the Educate Together, there is the split. I mean, the not Irish are saying, ah, yeah, we are doing the same. And the Irish are like, no, we go to the Catholic. That is for foreigners. And like, I'm Italian.
Yeah, let me just go back to Stephen just on the Educate Together schools. Stephen, the Educate Together schools, I was never really a fan of them. Now, I know there's not that many of them yet. I'm a fan of the idea of having secular schools, but I'm not a fan of the lack. I think it's a lack of discipline. They'd probably argue with me. I think it's a kind of lack of discipline. The idea there's no uniforms, you know, they don't have homework, they call the teachers by their first names. To me, that's not school. It's like, you know, having the crack, like.
Yeah, but certainly speaking from experience of the handful of Educate Together schools that I know of and have either been to or know people that work in them and things like that, it's still, you know, teaching kids for 7, 8, 9 hours a day their spellings, maths, languages, whatever it is. And they do religion, but they don't just focus on one religion.
No.
They talk about everything.
Yes, theocracy,
you know? So
it's
still at school. It still does everything at school.
Yeah, but you know how important rules can be.
The schools are the same in terms of how
yeah, but rules are important,
teachers interact with their students and back and forth. I would never say that rules aren't important. Mm. How people choose to, you know, establish rules and enforce rules is entirely up to them. You know, and the schools that I went to, the primary school was religious, but you know, the rules were there and broadly in line were followed. You know, the same when I was in secondary school. So. You know, it's arguing about this is just kind of a little bit redundant in the sense that we don't have a choice. We don't have the option to go and establish a new school for every, you know, Tom, Dick, Harry and Harriet that we can think of. You know, it's just not going to happen. The basic thing is if you're owned and run by the state, you should provide the best, broadest education to everybody regardless. And not everybody has to like it. Like the point was made that in communion and confirmation classes, if you opt out, you're basically told to sit at the back of the classroom and colour in. You know, that's happening.
The thing about the communions and confirmations, and you know, as much as I agree, they probably should be done privately or in Sunday schools or Saturday schools if that's what you want to do, right? But in saying that, I don't see them as religious occasions. Now, I know they are.
No.
It's like, we don't see Christmas because I'm an atheist, right? And I want to say, again, I have a huge respect for people who are religious and believe in God as long as they, you know, as long as they're peaceful about it. But, you know, I practice, you know, Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Easter, even though they're religious occasions. In other words, these things have turned into traditions, weddings, funerals, communions, confirmation. They're very Irish traditions, more so, like baptismal, I suppose, to some degree. Maybe not so much the baptismal. But these are Irish traditions. They're not so much about religion, really, are they?
No, they're not really, and particularly with baptisms, you know, it's a requirement for any school to have a baptismal cert.
Not anymore.
You know,
no, that's gone.
Child into it.
No, that's gone.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's good.
But, yeah, no, they got rid of that in 2018.
You're right, though, about the basics, that all of these things can be done in people's own time, or if the local church wants to get everybody ready for their communion, do it on a Sunday after Mass or whatever it is. Don't bring it into the school. The same, I don't see religion as an indoctrination, because the same way as maths and history and civics and things of that, and queer education is not indoctrination. It's simply giving people.
But it is indoctrination, isn't it?
And they decide whether they take it on or not.
I mean, hang on. With the greatest respect, Stephen, all teaching
or anything like that.
No, all teaching is indoctrination. Our job and our role for children is to educate them, right? In all ways, socially, academically, and in every way. And we're basically feeding information to them constantly all the time. That is indoctrination.
Up to the individual and the families of the individuals and the society that they're in, whether or not they choose to follow that indoctrination.
But I mean, let me give you a quick example, right? We tell a child at a very young age about Santa Claus. And if there's young ears listening, by the way, please turn off your ears right now, okay? We tell them about the Easter Bunny. We tell them about Jack Frost. You know, we tell them those things because children believe everything you tell them, because that's our job as adults to input information into them. So when you say that, even mathematics, religion, queer education, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're referring, that's all indoctrination, because we're telling them this is a fact. Mm. They don't know any different. They're not going to argue with us. So when I tell them, for example, that God created the world, they're going to believe that. If I tell them that the world came from the Big Bang, they're going to believe that too. Do you understand? They believe everything you tell them, up to a point where they start becoming critical thinkers around 12 or 13 years of age. So what I'm saying is, it's
and
our job.
And you can accelerate that process by teaching both or everything.
Okay, Lorenzo, just before I go to Melissa.
Students.
Lorenzo, should we just get rid of religion out of schools completely in Ireland? Should we take away the ethos of religion?
I think we should take out the teaching. I mean, it's okay to teach about the history of religion, but not is that it's the only truth and everything moves around religion. Because, I mean, there are different religions and everything is different. I mean, if you see Muslims, countries, they work in a certain way. If you move to India, it's another religion, works in different ways. It's not that, it's not only one truth. So we believe in, and then even if you teach religion, are you teaching the Old Testament or the New Testament? Because they're different.
Well, of course, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't like to go into a school or go into the government of Saudi Arabia or in the Middle East somewhere and tell them, you have to start teaching, or get rid of Islam out of schools, because they wouldn't do it for you.
No, but I mean, if you look at all...
The point you're saying, we're living in a world, and we are living in a global village now, right? We are living in a much bigger world, and it's a closer-knit world. We're online, and we're all connected now. But still, we're still Ireland. This is still Ireland. It is still a Catholic country.
Yes, but it's not driven by church. It's driven by... It's a laic state. There is a constitution. It's a democracy. So it's okay to teach that there are religions, different religions, and Irish... accepted one, just decided to accept one and not the others, but not is the only true religion, because otherwise you do the crusades again.
Okay,
that's why Muslims they teach that only Islam is the right one and see what they do. I mean,
yeah, well, I know, and most people who are Muslim, by the way, are good, decent, kind people. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a small amount of people who take their religion to the extreme. I want to go to Melissa and Lorraine. I'll be with you in a second. Melissa, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for letting me on to speak on this topic. I did watch the debate and very robust debate on this. Mm. I am very much for keeping it in the schools. When do we stop bowing to this 2% of people that are offended, Niall? What about the 70% that are offended if they take it out? You know, there was a time of democracy where the majority rule. And I feel we've lost that here in Ireland, and we're whimpering and kneeling down and bowing and folding to this percentage of telling us who we should be. And I love the way you brought up there, Niall, about the traditions. It's our culture. It's our heritage. Both of them are baptized, communion, confirmation. And then they become of an age, as did I, whether I wanted to choose at 16. You know, my parents, every Sunday morning, even when I was working full-time at 16, And I don't, you know, you'd be glad of your day off. I was still got out of bed and go to mass of a Sunday morning at 16 years of age. And after that, when you become an adult, you have that choice. But how dare anyone, anyone come into this country and expect 70% of us to drop everything we've had in our culture and our heritage. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the whimpering 2% and the people that are being offended. My son went, I went to FCJ Convent, delighted, the best education in the world. Everyone knows they're sending them from all over the world. There's hardly an Irish person can get into a course in this country in third level because the UK non-nationals get the courses first. And of course, they pay a lot of money to do so. So that's paying for the colleges. But let's remember who built the schools. And it's the
That's a good argument. Okay, so,
and we do need to hold on to what we have. And enough of this whimpering.
Okay, well, let me just go back to Stephen on that. Stephen, yeah, I mean, look, this debate has only come around in the last kind of 10 years because Melissa says we're whimpering and pandering to minorities, you know, who feel a little bit offended or feel a little bit left out because they can't take part in it because they might be Islam or Buddha or whatever it happens to be. So we shouldn't be pandering or whimpering to minorities.
So then, you know, should we just, you know, get them out of the country and say, well, you either bow or, you know, leave? I did see a comment similar to that in the thread for announcing the video. You know, it's either, you know, get on board or get out, basically.
But you know, you're coming into a Catholic country that's 70% Catholic. Like, as I said, as we've all said, we would not go in to another country and say, right, we're going to change your Muslim religion. Now, remember, in secondary schools, in my son's former secondary school, they spent the whole month doing the cry for prayer and set up a whole room in the school in Ferrybank. There's 1,000 children. It's a secondary school. And they spent the whole month with the whole Muslim celebrations of their fasting and their prayer. They've no problem bringing that into our schools. I was very upset over it, personally.
It's only two days. If we're allowed to practice our faith, they should be allowed to practice their faith.
Excuse me, the Polish came in to Ireland and they had their Polish schools of a Saturday that we, the Irish taxpayers, paid for. And they did their schooling of a Saturday that we paid for. So if Muslims feel uncomfortable in Irish schools where there's Holy Communion going on, for God's sake, it's one day in the year, and the confirmation. There's plenty that can be done. There's plenty of homework can be done.
Fairness, Melissa, it's not just one day. There's a whole load of preparation, isn't there?
People are fed up of going down on our knees for others. And it's time now people realise...
Just hang on, because I have loads of people to get to. Stephen,
stop the whinging.
Okay, Stephen, just on the point Melissa's making. We wouldn't go into another country and demand that they, you know, kind of get removed their religion from a school or their culture from a school because, 2% of us are Irish here and we're Catholics. So we wouldn't do that because you wouldn't be allowed. You'd be told to get lost. So the point Melissa's making is that, you know, pandering to minorities, we are inherently a Catholic country. I mean, this is a Catholic country, just like, you know, the Middle East is Islamic.
By culture, sure. How many of us are practicing Catholics?
Well, according to the census, 85% of us are still Catholics, but according to research, only 50% of people actually practice religion. Yeah. We kind of just stick out. Like, I'm technically a Catholic, you know, even though I don't practice religion, you know.
Well, I'm still registered as a member of the Catholic Church because I was baptized in my communion and did my confirmation, you know. I haven't set foot in a church since the last funeral I was at, you know, like the majority of the Irish population. Mm. You know,
sorry, but you don't have to go into a church to be a Catholic. You can pray anywhere. Like
anyone from a Muslim country is coming here and saying no to Catholicism, only practicing and worship Muhammad.
I'm sorry, they actually are.
Because
I don't know what
school
you're under, but they are.
Students practicing their religion is not trying to erase Catholicism. It's not trying to, you know, kick it out.
But you're not
going
to erase it out of Catholic schools. It's called a Catholic school because we want to send our children to Catholic schools. And the statistics are there of their literacy, everything. And they grow up in a more, like, I work with the youth. I'm youth mental health. I'm first aid mental health. Having a faith is a known fact that your mental health can be better. And that's a known fact. Okay? So why should we be taking that away from our children to suit other people's religions? Now, that, you know, there's the time and place for this, and there's time and place for the Irish people to hold our culture and for them to work around us instead of us constantly working around them.
Okay, thank you for that, Melissa. I'm sorry, I'm really pushed to get through people today. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. You've been listening to Stephen. He's kind of defending the idea of, you know, I suppose at least making some of the schools secular rather than having this kind of this burden for
know,
some people.
You can opt out of doing religion in Catholic schools.
Oh, you can, yeah.
You don't have to.
Yeah, what do you
do
when you opt out? You sit in your own twiddling your thumbs in the back of the class or something? What happens when you opt out?
I totally agree with Melissa. Mm. I totally agree. It is part of our culture. It's part of who we are. And leave it alone. If you want to build a school for people who want to practice Muslims, people who want to do Judaism. Nobody's saying they can't have them schools. It's a Catholic school because that's we want our kids to learn about religion. Simple as.
Yeah, but you do. Some other people might not.
My daughter, you were saying no kids like religion. My daughter is 7 and she absolutely loves coming home and telling me and Jay. Like, she loves explaining about Jesus rising again. She loves explaining about Christmas. She enjoys religion in school.
Yeah.
Like, she loves coming home and she loves talking about it. And, like, her great comfort is she's got a memory card of my nanny underneath her pillow. Now, I never met the woman in her life, but she has that memory card underneath her pillow. It's a great comfort to her knowing that Nanny Burke is up in heaven and is taking care of her. Some kids like religion and want to learn about it. Leave it alone. If you don't want your child in a Catholic school, don't send it to a Catholic school.
But you don't but you don't really have much choice, Lorraine. Nearly all of the schools are Catholic. That's all Stephen is saying. Give us a level playing field here. Maybe the suggestion, as I said to John earlier on, is the state takes back ownership of half of the schools of the 3,200 national schools in the country, and they're non-denominational.
They could do that. Or, as I said, you could opt out religion. Like, I know our school up here, and they're not sitting at the back of the classroom twiddling their thumbs. They're allowed to bring in...
Yeah, but no, but you can't really opt out of religion in a Catholic school, because I'll tell you why. Because there's an ethos within the school. So in other words, you might be able to opt out of the, you know, the catechism, or if that's what they call it nowadays, class in particular, or that particular section of the day where they're saying prayers. But all through the day, the ethos, the instruction is Catholicism, and the instruction is religion. So you can't really opt out of it. You can't avoid hearing it.
But... I totally agree with Melissa. It's like we're bowing down to the 2% that are giving out about this religion. And what are we, like, as you said, we can't go over to a Muslim country and say, sorry, I'm Irish. Can you get rid of Islam out of your country, please?
You wouldn't last long if you did that, let me tell you.
That's what I'm saying. No, but we're expected to do it over here. Mm. What about the 70% of us? Now, I'm not saying I'm overly religious, but I believe in God, and I believe... My kids know about God, they know about heaven. Like, we're not that we're over religious, but we know, my kids, we are a religious family.
Stephen, Stephen, do you believe in God?
I honestly don't know, to be honest. I think I find much more solace in the, you know, the strength of human spirit and collectivism within humanity, regardless of what specific religion they have.
Right, so you don't necessarily believe in a bloke in the sky looking after everything?
No.
Okay.
I think I do like the idea of an afterlife, and that something happens to us afterwards. And
then you are religious.
It's a nice thing.
If you believe in that, you must be spiritual.
Specific religion. I am spiritual, yes. You know, I just don't have. I tend to take, you know, the broad general gist of the majority of the religions that I've looked at, which is love each other, do unto other, do not judge, don't kill, don't, you know, be a bad person. You know,
kind of like the same.
And I don't have a problem with those kinds of things, you know, because whether you're religious or not, or whether you were given religion as a child or not, those are the basic things that we ask everybody in society to do, regardless of whether they're Muslim, Sikh, Hindu, Buddhist, Tao, whatever, you know, it doesn't make a difference. And all I'm saying is that we, as the welcoming society that we are, should be, you know, open and saying
that everybody should... Give up our tradition,
the majority
give up
of the,
our religion.
The majority of the time is always going to be Catholicism in Ireland. It's always going to be. But that doesn't mean
to
say that
you
can't spend 10 minutes of a 30-minute class talking about Judaism or Islam or Taoism or Buddhism or Hinduism or Sikh.
But what about the parents then, like myself, that don't want that taught to my child? What about the parents like
well,
me
if
who
you
don't
get
want
it, if
that
you
taught
get,
to my
if you,
child?
Well, go and ask the school what the specific teaching plan for the entire term is and say, well, I won't be in on January 3rd because you're going to talk about Protestantism or Taoism or something like that.
But I sent my child to a Catholic school, so they learned about Catholicism. I actually
and they're learning about Catholicism
because...
90% of the time.
But I said my child doesn't send my child because I don't want my children learning about other religions. They're Catholic. They're Irish. I sent them to that school
don't
for that
Catholic
reason.
Because you say they are.
No, I'm not. As I said, my daughter loves learning about God and learning about. She loves coming home talking about.
I think the point Stephen is making was if you weren't living in Ireland and you were living in Saudi Arabia, you'd be teaching them about Muhammad, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I'm not.
And she'd probably love that too.
I'm living here. I'm not living over there. I'm living in Ireland, and that's why I'm Catholic.
I know that. I'm just saying.
You know, not saying that she needs a choice, but the child doesn't have a choice what school they go to.
But I chose that school because it was a Catholic school, because I chose to get my child baptized. I chose this. If she wants to turn 12
and
13 and 12.
My parents basically did the same thing, too.
But when she hits of an age and she turns around to me and says, "Ma'am, I don't want this anymore," I'm not going to turn around and donor for it, I'll say, right, you have your own choice. So she turns around then to me, and when she's old enough and says, "Mom, I'm a Buddhist," off you go, love. But for the time being, she's a Catholic. I sent her to a Catholic school for that reason. I'm Catholic, her dad's Catholic.
Okay, stay there, because I want to go to Morris, and I've just come to Robert as well, who's a religious teacher.
Teach for everybody.
Yeah, sorry, Morris, hi.
I'm going to say a prayer for everybody in the audience today.
I think Stephen needs a few prayers.
Listen, do you remember that old saying, Noel, from years ago? Never talk to an Irishman about religion or politics.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what I'm going to say is...
Look at the state we're in now.
I became aware of Irish people when we were being colonized and being controlled. They brought in the thing called the penal laws in Ireland. And if you were caught with those beards or you practiced Catholicism, you were killed, right?
Yeah.
So I found out about a lady that I knew, a friend of the family, and she told me that Irish people, rather than die and hang on to their faith, they actually crocheted rosary beads and hid them on their body to keep their faith close to them. Crocheted rosary beads. I have a pair of them, and they're beautiful. Now, if people are willing to die for something that they believe in, who are we to say whether children should be taught about it or not? But I will put the ultimate choice in the parents' hands. It makes me a little bit sad that people are baptizing children for the sake of getting them an education. That's wrong.
No. Can I just put that to bed once and for all? I know Stephen mentioned that as well. That's gone, Morris. That went in 2018. It was called the baptismal barrier. And they removed the baptismal barrier about four or five years ago. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. You don't have to be baptized to get into a school. You don't get preference if you're baptized. That's all gone.
Well, that's good because it was going on and people were...
Oh, it was, It was stupid, the people that's baptizing kids.
I'll give you one thing about being... we have the Educate Together schools here. There's no religion in that.
Yeah, there's not many of them. There's not very many of them.
No, but they're really good and they're coming on and they're really expanding. I've seen a couple in my area. But I'll give you another example about how religion has gone. I was educated by the De La Salle brothers, Christian brothers, yeah?
Yeah, so was I, yeah.
Yeah. That convent in Ballyferm where I grew up, that my five brothers and my sisters went to the nuns, that's been flattened now and there's 900 houses and apartments being built on it. So they're gone. The De La Salle in Ballyferm is gone.
I don't think there's any Christian brothers left. I think they're all gone. I think they're all dead. I don't think there's any more. Yeah. I think they're all gone.
Yeah, so they were a big part of our life and our religion, you know?
Yeah, some of them were really good, by the way. Some of them were nice guys, but some of them were assholes as well.
Yeah.
Fairness. You know what I mean?
I'm an ex-army man, as you know, and I'll tell you one thing about war and religion. You'll never find an atheist in a foxhole.
No, but getting back to what Stephen was saying earlier on, do you believe it's time just to remove religion from schools completely? Now, you can still teach about Catholicism. You can still teach about Judaism or Hinduism or whatever, Sikh or whatever it happens to be. You can still teach all of those things as part of, say, a history class, but just not having an ethos as such.
I'm with you, yeah. But see, this is where we come from. This is our history. This is our culture. We come from this background. You know, if you want to go into it and say, well, St. Patrick was sent here for a reason to convert us and save us. You know, that's what people believe in. I climbed Crow Patrick, Noel, the year my mother died. Mm-hmm. And I've done something to me, and you know, I never lost, and I'll do it again.
So you're saying no?
Back up there.
So you're saying no, keep religion in schools. It's important. Do you believe it's important?
No, I, what I'm going to say to you is that any parents out there, put your children first. Give them the education you want them to have, and you choose whether you want them in a religious school or a non-religious school. The parents are the ultimate teachers of their own children, not this government and not this country, or not the state or the church.
Thanks, Faris, for that. Let me just go to Robert. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Now, you're a religious teacher in a secondary school, or you were for years anyway, so, yeah.
I was. I was a religious teacher in a private Catholic school, so where all of the parents were involved in the faith. And I'm now married with kids myself, and when I sent them to schools around me, you know, I was asking them, well, what are you learning about the faith? And they were telling me what was happening. And I said, well, look, I pulled them out of religious education in the Catholic school. And I taught them. I didn't pull them out of the school. I taught them myself.
Okay.
But in the midst of this whole debate, guys, what is missing is most Catholic schools in Ireland do not teach the Catholic faith. And if anybody was listening to the program yesterday evening, there was a religion teacher there that said she didn't practice the faith. And yeah. So
that's a bit odd, all right, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like sending your son to a medical school where the person that's teaching you medicine doesn't practice medicine. So I'm not saying to take religion out of schools. I'm not saying to close the Catholic schools. But I'm saying to Catholics, you can't just shove your kids into a Catholic school and expect them that they will teach your kids the faith.
Robert, if you go back in time, we had priests who were teachers in Catholic schools. You had Christian brothers. You had all different nuns, all the different religious orders. They're nearly all gone now. So that's why you don't have people teaching religion in schools who are actually religious people anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But so, and I'm speaking to the Catholic audience here because I'm a Catholic myself. Catholics need to wake up. You either cannot be sitting on the fence expecting your kids to have Catholic-like education. Because let's face it, our Catholic schools do not form Catholics anymore. Because the religious that were there that did practice the faith, that did know the faith, they're gone.
Robert, I think you're simplifying something there. I think there's a bit more to it than that. When you say that we're not producing Catholics out of Catholic schools anymore, I think there's a lot more to it than what you're saying. You've got to remember, children now have access to the internet. They're much more educated than we are. They have answers to all the questions that we didn't know the answers to. We just believe the teacher. So they can do their own research. And I think children are looking at the world around them. And, you know, I'm an atheist, but I don't rule out the existence of a God. There could be. I don't know. Right. But I'm not going to rule it out. But what I'm saying is most of the questions that we would have had way, way back have all been answered. They were kind of, it's like when you go back 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, you know, they didn't understand why the sun was in the sky or why it was moving or whatever. But then we realized how all those things happened. In those days, that's God. God does that because we haven't had an answer for it. And I suppose the same thing happened in the 70s and 80s, you know, where we're told that God is responsible for all of these things. But then science got better in school and education gets better, more information. We know that, well, God is not really responsible for that. You know, we do that or nature does this or, you know, whatever. Science has proved this. I'm not saying God isn't responsible for something. But what I'm saying is we're getting answers and younger people are educated. It's not really that we're not producing Catholics. We're producing more educated children.
Yeah, but like, Niall, if you think about what we're producing in schools today, you know, we have 800 people take their lives on this island every year. 120,000 people are addicted to cocaine. You know, there's an incredible loss of morals.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with that.
And in the Catholic school that I worked in, which was 100% Catholic with all the parents involved, we took 2 weeks out of the year to go out and preach the faith to other people as Catholics, to go out on missions. We had retreats. The parents were involved. The school was involved. The parents didn't hand it over to us to do the formation. They were involved in the formation. And so there was a team effort. In Ireland, I'm sorry, but in many Catholic schools, I send my kids off there and they expect that the school is going to do everything. And it's a very light-touch Catholic formation we have in our Catholic schools. There's no prayer. You don't have Mass. We have Mass in our schools every week. We have prayer morning and afternoon.
My kids go to Mass with the school.
Oh, your kids go to Mass with the school, Lorraine?
With the school. They go once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They go, I mean, well, you're talking about the religion. My auntie's a nun and my mom is very religious. So we actually, not just in the school, we do it outside school too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I commend any Catholics, but I would just ask them to wake up and not expect. I was a seminarian for 9 years, so it's not just that I was a religion teacher, I was also a seminarian. So I know the church very well, and a lot of okay. my friends are priests and bishops, and I can only tell you guys, you can't sit back and expect Catholic schools to teach you the faith. You have to.
Okay, but can I ask you another question, Robert, because Stephen is still there, and sorry, Stephen, for keeping you so long, and I know you may have to go in a second, but Stephen is still there, and Stephen has been ominous many times. He's a member of the LGBT community, and obviously we talk about, you know, teachings in school, particularly when it comes to relationships and everything else. And from his community's point of view, and from some people who are, I suppose, more progressive, if that's a good word for you, they believe that Catholicism in schools holds back that education. In other words, that the main objectors to, say, as he called it earlier on, queer education, the main objectors to that would be, you know, people who are religious. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think that's what he's thinking.
Okay, but I suppose if we take away religion, Niall, from our society, you know, we have an epidemic of depression like we've never seen, because there's no meaning. People are struggling to find meaning in their life, and you know, because the minority are threatened or are not comfortable with our religious beliefs, doesn't mean we throw out everything that we actually believe in. You know,
Stephen, do you want to ask the question maybe slightly different than the way I put it? I put it wrong probably.
Well, no, you kind of made a point that I would have made several times in different conversations. Like, we have different rules in the education system that say that if you don't meet the ethos of, if you don't abide by the ethos of an organization, we can let you go. Now, we did away with that mostly, but similar to what, you know, your previous caller was saying, it's just like, well, if you're not a practicing Catholic, you know, we probably won't bump you up the line in terms of promotions, or we might just, you know, keep you where you are, or if you're unmarried, or if you're gay, or anything like that, you know, it's just like, well, we need the staff members so you can stay, but we won't necessarily make it a nice place for you to work, or we might just, you know, ignore you for the whole of your job there until you decide to leave. Hang on a second, because I'm trying to come around to the point that I was trying to make in that.
Go ahead.
The reasoning, like, if I don't meet the ethos of an organization, I don't get a job. Or, you know, nobody's saying that we shouldn't teach religion. I'm not saying that, you know, a world where that religion has no morals and no kind of standing and nobody has an understanding of themselves and how to be a good person. All I'm saying is the broad tenets of every religion are all basically the same. And saying to somebody that, by the way, Muhammad over here follows Islam and, I don't know, Stephen over there follows Judaism, isn't a bad thing. In broad encompassing and encouraging of all understandings of people is a good thing. And that's what the education system should be doing.
Yeah, and I think that's, Robert, what you were trying to say as well. The education system has diluted religion. So it's become deluded and it's become more about theocracy rather than sort of demanding that you believe there's a creator as such. Because they teach, I mean, science is very important now as well. We would have never, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have science in primary school. Now we do. So these things are important too. And sometimes they can contradict each other. So it's kind of diluting it slightly, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm offering the reality that, you know, our faith is a personal relationship with God, a God that actually does exist. You know, this is not an idea I'm telling people. This is a reality that's broadened our understanding of life, and it gives meaning to a lot of people. And we're entitled as Catholics to educate our children in the faith. We're entitled as Catholics to get together with other Catholics and educate our children in the faith. And that has to be respected in the educational system. All I'm saying is what we have today in Ireland, guys, in our Catholic schools, in many of them, isn't doing service to either camps at the moment. We're not serving either those who are all of you guys are on this call. You're not being served either way by what is happening, because you're arguing one side or the other. What we need is our schools that are...
When we look at other countries, and Lorenzo was on there about Italy, the United States is another example as well. You know, they don't teach religion in schools, in public schools. If you want to go to a Catholic school, it's private. If you want to go to a Jewish school or an Islamic school, they're all private, right? But in a public state school, up to the end of high school, they don't teach religion in schools. They teach theocracy. So in other words, it's fair and it's balanced and it's not one particular religion and there is no ethos. So there is no instruction. So there is no demand that you believe in a creator. There's no demand that you believe in where we all came from, God produced y'all and all that kind of crap. And that's the same in many countries. Now, I know Ireland has been inherently different because we are a Catholic country. And like you, I value the traditions. I think, the traditions are wonderful, like Christmas, Easter, communion, confirmation, baptism. I think they're all lovely traditions, weddings, funerals even as well. I think, and they've become traditions. You know, I'm atheist, but I still believe in Christmas. I still love Christmas. I love Easter. You know, I think it's lovely to see kids making their communion and confirmation, even though I think most of them are just thinking of the money. Because they're all part of Irish identity and tradition. So I don't mind all of that. But I think what people are saying is, give us a choice. There's, 90% of the schools in Ireland are Catholic. You know what I mean? Give us a choice.
Yeah. But to be honest, if you send your kids to a Catholic school and they don't, and you don't want them to learn about Catholic religion, they will accommodate you around that. And they've always done that. Mm. Even back in the, as I said, I was in a Catholic school, taught religion in the school, and if anyone didn't want to be taught the faith, they were entitled not to know it. But the thing is, the schools are really excellent. If you give proper Catholic formation, you're setting these kids off on a life where they will have meaning in their careers, in their as they progress in life. I mean, we had no suicides in our school. None of our students that went on to secondary school had suicides. And yet you look around Ireland and you see this either at secondary or in university. I mean, because people have lost meaning in life. They've lost an intricate part of faith.
But hang on, because I've loads of people to get to. But stay with me, Robert, if you want to, for a minute. I know Stephen is still there as well. Tony, hi, how are you?
Hello, Noel, how are you?
Good, okay. Robert is saying, sure, they're not teaching it properly anyway. So, now, he's not suggesting we remove it altogether.
The angle that I'm coming from is, leave the children alone. They're fine. If they want to go into a Catholic school, and their parents will put their name down for a Catholic school, and if they're accepted, they have an opt-out. The story is that if they're going to an Islamic school, if they're going to a madras, they're not going to have an opt-out. And Stephen, how do you think Stephen would be accepted, in a madras? I don't think he'd be accepted at all in a madras. Because they have a strict thing against gays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
probably.
Really against
gays. Yep.
So when Stephen is picking up for the Islamic religion, it's the same as when the two men was murdered in Sligo and they were beheaded in the name of Islam. I didn't hear the LGBT big uproar from the community. They stayed silent. So these people sort of have their own agenda against the Catholic Church and they have it in favour.
Listen, there are plenty of religious and Catholic queer people in Ireland.
Hang on, Tony, let him reply. You can come back again, but let him reply to what you just said. Okay, Stephen, the crux of what he was arguing was that you, as a gay man, for example, wouldn't be welcome in an Islamic school or madras. You wouldn't be welcome.
Mm.
Or you certainly couldn't be openly gay.
I probably couldn't be openly gay. I have no experience kind of...
But you can in a Catholic school.
No, we can't.
I
could be in a Catholic school. I could be openly gay. I could be openly whatever I am.
Yeah.
In a Catholic school. But that's not just because that... And Catholicism has its own problems with queer identities, which is a whole other conversation that I don't have time to get into. But the schools within the country are... obliged to follow the laws of the country and things say
and
that you cannot discriminate. So the madras might not like me, and they may not make life easy for me. But if it's the only school I can go to and it's the only school I can stay in, then I have no choice in the matter. If I would go to another school.
You can go to an Islamic school if they will accept you and answer the straightforward question. And the question is, like, if you think an Islamic school, it accepts you as an openly gay man, it's either a yes or no question.
I don't know, to be honest with you.
No, and the answer is no.
Steve, hang on. Steve, with the greatest respect, I had a spokesperson for the Islamic community on the air on radio about 4 or 5 years ago, and a very famous spokesperson, by the way. He was head of the Islamic community in Ireland. And his line to me, what he said is...
This was also the guy that was, you know, lured into an attack and ambushed.
No, different man completely. He said to me, and what he said to me, he said to one of the main mosques in Ireland, he said to me, there are no gay Muslims.
And I
said, what do you mean there's no gay? He said, there are no gay Muslims. And that was his line to me. So I think Tony is right about acceptance. Catholic schools are more accepting of different people with differences, right? And we've seen that throughout the years. So getting back, sorry, Tony, we're cut off on a little bit of a tangent there. And I don't want to make it about Stephen or about his sexuality or whatever. But I do understand the point you make.
That's my thing.
Okay, Catholic schools can be more accepting than other religions. I accept that. And I think everybody should accept that because that is a fact. But Tony, in relation to Catholicism in school, there are many people in Ireland who don't practice religion anymore at all. 40%, probably 50% of people don't practice their religion, even though they claim 85% claim to be Catholics. They don't practice it anymore.
Right.
So should there be schools for them too?
I don't go to Mass on a Sunday. I don't attend Mass on a Sunday. But I do go into the church and I say a prayer and I light a candle.
Mm.
Okay, now that's my thing of being a Catholic. If that's against... Like, if that's against people's beliefs, that's okay with me. I'm fine with it.
Okay, but what do we do about religion in schools? We're still not tackling that argument. No, should we still have confirmations and communions and children, all that kind of stuff?
Leave the children's innocence alone and let them get on. And let the parent make a decision at 4 or 5 years old.
But we're not letting the parents, Tony, make decisions. We're not letting parents make decisions because, unfortunately, the parents don't really have a choice.
How don't they have a choice? No,
because the majority of schools are Catholic.
I know, but they can opt out of the religion. And there was a boy in my grandson's class, and the mom decided to, on the first year, to have him to opt out. And he was the only one who opted out. It lasted maybe 2 months, and he was back in again. And the child was fine now. Sometimes, you can get parents and they're making a decision because they're listening to people like Stephen and they're being brainwashed by people like Stephen.
How is Stephen brainwashing you?
He's not brainwashing me. He's not by a long shot.
But you could argue that, and I made this point earlier on in the show, children are brainwashed by everything. Everything is brainwashing. Everything is indoctrination. Mathematics is brainwashing. You're inputting information into a child.
Yeah. But then the child gets to a certain age and he makes his own decision, as I did, as you did, and leaves them as innocent children.
Okay, listen, on that note, I have to go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's the crack?
Sorry, go ahead, Dave. Do you believe we should take religion out of schools altogether?
No, I prefer to see we go a more broader approach.
Right.
You know, and as opposed to just being like, we're just being like, you know, keep the communion and confirmation stuff in school, but maybe just do it after school, you know? And then that way the kids that aren't, like, you know, making a communion or a confirmation don't have to sit at the back of the class to live in their homes. But yeah. I mean, look, religion is massively important to humanity as a species, and particularly in Ireland. I mean, before the Catholic Church went all Dark Sidious and went to the dark side, like, Christianity was a massive force for good in this country. I mean, there's a great documentary called How Ireland Saved the World. And during medieval times, when everything started, you know, went regressing, you know, where we basically the Dark Age, you know, where like all the Greek philosophies and all the things we had learned were being thrown out the window. It was monks who were recording all this information on parchments and books and stuff like that. And they saved a wealth of knowledge that we had, you know, built up over like the centuries. So, you know, like, religion has been a massive force for good.
No, absolutely. We have religion to thank for a lot of things in society. I'm not going to disagree with you, of course.
I'm not going to give a morality, though. I think when religions start to claim morality, I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think morality has probably, it's existed far longer than religions in any organized fashion.
Well, and I would agree with you because there are some things within religion that I wouldn't call very moral.
Well, look, they found skeletal remains of, I think it was a Homo erectus. that had a broken, was either a broken femur or a broken leg bone, and which basically meant like it had healed over time. So like this is back hundreds upon thousands of years ago, which means like morality was present in regards to the tribe that that particular individual lived in actually cared for them while they weren't able to look after themselves. So
yeah,
that's definitely, you know, that's definitely predating religion. No, but I prefer to see a more broader approach taken in religion, not just the usual, like, if somebody lost a fiver and you found it on the street, what would Holy God want you to do? You know, I'd rather we go from that approach as opposed to today we're going to learn about Judaism.
I don't know, Dave. And I want to go back to Robert and Stephen on that one as well. You know, when we talk about morals, I mean, I know Stephen mentioned earlier on you don't need religion to have good morals, but I think most of us were brought up in Ireland with good morals through religion. And I do believe that religious families and religious education does teach good morals. Robert, do you believe that religion brings good morals, or do you believe that people can have good morals without religion?
Well, I suppose we go back to the center of our faith, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, we are called to love and as Christ loved. And I know people don't like listening to this, but, you know, when we teach somebody, you have to treat that person like you would like to be treated. And this is how I said to my my kids. And going back to Stephen, my eldest daughter in school, you know, there was a gay boy with her in school. And she came home and she was talking to me. And I said, you know, be kind to him, you know, talk to him. Make sure that he feels welcome, you know, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the core of our faith. And this is what we're not teaching in school. We have an epidemic of bullying. We have an epidemic of loneliness, of suicide. And when you teach the Catholic faith as Christ taught us, it gives meaning to your life. And this is what we're failing to do. It's not an academic subject. This is far, far, far deeper. So that's my thoughts.
Okay, just Stephen, let me ask you that question in relation to morals in school. Do you not believe that Catholicism, and particularly religion in general, well, not religion in general, I suppose, but let's focus on the Catholic religion, that it teaches good morals, generally speaking?
I think, as you said, you know, I was brought to a lot of my morals through, you know, being raised as a Catholic, and my parents were raised by Catholics, and, well, my dad's Protestant, but anyway, you know, my parents instilled in me good morals the same way as most parents will do, whether they're religious or not. I think your other caller is right. Religion doesn't hold the balance of morals and the control over it. And with all due respect,
I think it has a huge influence. I don't necessarily agree with Dave. I do believe it has a huge influence on morals.
I think it can do. It's a great tool for a lot of good. It's also a great tool for a lot of evil. You know, and with respect to Dave is kind of coming at it from the same point of view as, you know, the head of the Muslim faith that you were talking about, in that it's their source of comfort, it's their source of interpreting the world, and it's their source of life and the way we should live. And that's fine. Nobody is saying they shouldn't have it. I'm just saying that your point of view is slightly clouded.
Yeah.
In the sense that this is like Catholicism and religion in general is not a shield against depression and bullying and anti-Semitism or whatever else it is, or homophobia. It's not a shield against it. It is not the source of protection from it. It is the cause of it in a lot of cases.
It can be, but if your religion is practiced properly, I suppose the argument would be that it is some sort of shield, because, you know, Robert is talking about do unto others as you want done unto yourself and all that kind of stuff. So those kind of teachings, if you took them literally and if you, you know, you practice those teachings, well, then the world would be a better place to some degree. Now, don't get me wrong. There is stuff within the Bible or the Quran or whatever. And if you take it and the context is different or you interpret it differently, as some sects do, it can cause a huge amount of problems. And we see that with terrorism all over the world. So religion also creates a huge amount of problems because people have different interpretations of what the religion is meant to tell them to do.
Yeah, I don't know how many versions of the Bible were written or are being written. You know, they all say mostly the same thing, but words change.
Well, I'm assuming Robert doesn't live his life. Well, Robert, I'm assuming you don't live your life with the Old Testament.
No, I mean,
you couldn't.
It was a progressive revelation, you know, and Christ killed nobody. He harmed nobody. And you know, he is the model that we mold ourselves on. And if everybody did that simple thing, even when he was going to be led away to be put to death, and they tried to defend him and they cut off an ear, he said, "Stop," you know, and you know, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," when he was being crucified. I mean, this is the person that we follow, that kills nobody, that calls people to see life in a different way. And of course, I mean, look, it's far deeper than just an academic subject, but as you can know, it's something I absolutely really believe in. And it has given value and it has given meaning to my life and to many people around me. And it's in that sphere that I would ask people to take on the Catholic faith, not as a tradition. It's not a tradition. It's a relationship with your living God, who wants to have a relationship with you.
Yeah. By the way, Dave, your little kid, I don't mention his name in the air, obviously, but your young fella, he's mad into all sorts of things. Is he religious? I think you told me a few years ago he was.
Yeah, no, the older fella, Killian, no, he was. He was into the whole holy God and all that kind of stuff. And like, to be fair, right? Like, I mean, Stephen made a good point. Like, religion can be a force for good, but we have seen some of the most unspeakable acts of cruelty and evil perpetuated, even in modern times, still to this day. I mean, in Saudi Arabia, like, being an executioner is like a trade, okay? So it's still done to this day. But, like, with kids, it's pure sport of religion. It's how religion should be practiced, and it's how religion should be seen, because we went to see Santa Claus one night, and it was a wonderful experience. It was the best time we ever got to see Santa. And you know what? Like, he got down on his knees and said a prayer after, and it was lovely. I'm not a particularly religious kind of a guy myself, but even I could admire the beauty of that. And if that's what religion was like all over the world, humanity would be in a much better place.
It'd be saved. I absolutely would. Liz, I do apologize. I'm going to have to get to everybody very quickly because we've got way over time here. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Yeah, Maureen, just very quickly, do you believe we should remove religion from schools? Obviously, no. You don't believe so. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Why not?
No. Catholicism should be taught in Catholic schools.
But they're nearly all Catholic schools.
Catholicism is actually, it is part of our heritage and culture.
Yeah.
It has been for centuries.
Yep.
And as previous caller said, this is pandering to a minority. But the writing was on the wall for quite a long time. Because there was a minority who didn't want crosses in hospitals. They didn't want this. They didn't want that. They didn't want somebody else because they found it offensive. And I heard somebody else there on about they were saying that God isn't mentioned in the Constitution. Indeed, he is. I suppose they'll be after Article 6.
Well, they didn't say God wasn't mentioned in the Constitution. They were saying that religion in schools, purpose say, wasn't.
Yeah, but we're talking about God.
Yeah.
So I thought they'd probably be removing that as well now too, Article 6.1.
No, God is mentioned a few times in the Constitution, yeah.
I don't see why Catholics should bow to anybody else. This is our faith, this is our, and communion and confirmation are not traditions now. They're sacraments.
I understand they're sacraments, but in Ireland they have become traditions, just like Christmas is a tradition.
No, they haven't become traditions. They never became traditions. They were part of the Catholic Church, the two sacraments.
I'm well aware they're sacraments, Maureen. I'm just saying from the outside looking in, they feel like traditions at this stage.
If you look, when Pilate brought out Christ and he brought out Barabbas, the crowd shouted for Barabbas. They shouted for Barabbas because they hated the truth. The same thing is happening today. Catholics are being attacked right, left and centre.
Okay, well, your religion is being attacked, you believe. Okay, let me go to Eddie. Eddie, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, how you doing, Noel? It's great to be on. Sorry, I'm just getting a little bit late myself. I haven't heard all the other talkers. But I will say one thing. The Catholic Church, you know, and culture and history are intrinsically linked in Ireland. You know, we are who we are and where we are because of the Catholic Church. There's no denying that. I'm a staunch Catholic, but I'm also a liberal. I mean, what gives me my liberal view is the fact that I believe in the Ten Commandments.
And can you be a Catholic and be a liberal at the same time? I thought being Catholic meant you were conservative.
Tolerance. I mean, Vatican II has, you know, the church has reformed over the years and moved with the times. without giving up its core beliefs. You know?
Yeah.
I regard myself as a believer.
Are you practicing Catholic?
I'm probably more a Catholic by culture. Because I can't define myself as anything else. I'm not a Protestant. Or a Methodist.
I'm interested in how your belief works in your real life. For example, in the referendum for marriage equality, you know, for gay people to get married, did you vote yes or no?
I did vote yes, because, okay. I mean, if they want to go through the pain of divorce as well, that's all right on them.
Right,
you know,
okay.
That was an old Gallagher quote, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good quote, by the way. I
mean, what do they teach in Jewish schools? What do they teach in Muslim schools? Only their core beliefs and their identities and their culture. You know, I know Muslims. Like, a lot of my two boys went to a Christian Brothers school because it was the best school in Lucan. And when we lived in Australia, like, the best schools were the Catholic schools. And the Chinese went there, the Hindus went there, and the Muslims went there. And even over here, the Muslim taxi driver, I was talking to a while ago, his two sons go to the Christian Brothers school. He says because they get the best, it's the best school.
See, Stephen, this is what I'm telling you. It's the best school.
They are the best schools.
Welcome to divorce.
Both of my boys, like, they went to an Educate Together school because I wanted them to be reared in the New Ireland, and they hated it.
Yeah.
Because there was no, you know, they got medals for everything. There was no competition. It was only when they went into the Christian Brothers schools they absolutely thrived. Now, it was an all-boys school as well, so that's probably something to do with it. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Let me go to Aaron as well, because I'm way over time here today. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, hi, Niall.
You heard Eddie there. You know, he said people should be taught morals. He said Catholic schools are better schools, generally speaking. Morals. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic schools. Yeah, Jesuits in particular. I only learned the other day 7 of the 9 Supreme Court justices in the USA, even though it's, I think, the country's 20% Catholic or 20% Catholic. So it's over 90% of the top judges are Catholic, Jesuit educated. I think that's always.
Well, didn't Trump throw two of them in just before he finished up?
Well, two or three, but yeah. I think a lot of even the nominees were I think Jesuit schools in particular. We all know that. I think even. I know Protestants, but it's the moral code. I just don't. I'm like you. I'm kind of secular, but if you take Catholicism away, I don't know what it's replaced with. And it's a lot of the real ardent enemies that they seem to. I think they know.
Is it replaced by wokeism if you take it away? Then
it is. Yeah, which is the religion.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah,
because it's saints and sinners, and they're very dogmatic about it. That's kind of the thing. That's very obvious. So
yeah. Oh, there's some right woke head cases out there.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know of a more dangerous ideology, including any of the religions, than a lot of the. I have a young daughter now, and like, I know a lot of parents who are terrified of the gender ideology being pushed through and what that could result in, you know. But,
yeah.
But of course, you're a sinner or you're a bigot if you even touch on that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's. I mean, I was amazed.
No, science. I've always said science should be about biology, not ideology. Yeah.
Yeah, and to the extent that they're unproven as well, or I would say kind of disproven, 90% of biologists don't agree with any of
no.
it, and yet they'll frame it as truth.
Yeah,
you know, so it's I had an interesting. I'm baptized Catholic, mainly Catholic schools. I then went to a Church of Ireland boarding school, and I don't really where it was a minority of Catholics, but I don't ever remember feeling excluded. The degree, it strikes me that a lot of these parents are the Catholic schools would probably be happy.
I don't think so anymore. There was a time that if you didn't want to be taught Catholicism, you would have ended up being excluded, but I think it's changed quite a lot.
Yeah. There was very sad pictures painted there. I was amazed to hear that there would be kind of children and on the day of the First Holy Communion that there'd be a couple of children sitting alone in the classroom. Like that's very hard to believe that would happen at all, you know.
Yeah, I think that's grossly exaggerated. Lads, Eddie and Aaron, I'm sorry, I've run out of time, unfortunately, and I do appreciate both of you coming on the air and talking to us today. Some of your voice notes, by the way, coming in. Oh yeah, Neil just sent in his usual voice note. Hold on, we just play this for you here. He likes to entertain us at the end of the show.
No, religion and Irish, no need for it in school. You could bring in maybe German and French, other two spoken languages, rather than religion, which is just causes trouble. And Irish, which is just an absolute waste of time. But that's just my opinion. Cheers, pal.
Thanks for that, Neil. Appreciate it. Some of your messages, by the way, coming in. Let me just read some of these messages we've got here. Okay. Mick Caffrey says, what's more amazing is that we are all born into the religion we are supposed to be. Now, how crazy is that? Evaluation or creation, you decide. Marie says, I think we should keep our Catholic tradition. Why change it to suit other religions and foreigners? Up to the people. If they want to take part, we should not have to give up our faith. Marvin says, if your school has a saint in the title, it's a bit hard to get away from it, isn't it? It probably is, yeah. Alan says, when God is taken out of schools, the children should follow. Woke ideology should never be part of any curriculum or education. I would agree. Woke indoctrination is not education. No, you're right. It's not education. It's woke indoctrination. Dublin comments says, no parents sending their children to a Catholic school want their children to be taught Catholic religious education. And somebody else says, not. I think we would be mad at this point in our history to remove Catholicism from schools, because if we do that, we will allow it to be infiltrated by the woke nonsense of gender ideology. A lot of people have that same point they're making in relation to gender. Breaking news, by the way, coming in. Police have turned up at a conference where Nigel Farage is on stage after order from Mayor, and the National Conservative Conference in Brussels will be shut down to guarantee public safety. It's shocking, by the way. Viktor Orban is there, by the way, the Prime Minister from Hungary. And and many others, by the way. It's quite shocking that when lefties have an event, you don't see conservative people shutting them down. But as soon as conservative people decide to have an event, the lefties are outside and want to close down. They live in an echo chamber. I look at it online, by the way. You know, when I see people giving out about Grip Media, for example, or giving out about me or whatever it is, right? And you're welcome, by the way, to criticise. I couldn't care less. But as soon as you criticise them, oh, they want to sue you. You can't criticise them. And they get taken seriously. It's not seen as a negative thing. If you're a lefty nutcase, it's not seen as negative. You're great. I mean, they'll even listen to you in the Oireachtas, for example, if you're a lefty nutcase. You know what I mean? Whereas you won't have somebody who would be a right-wing nutcase listen to in the Oireachtas, and rightly so, by the way. Extreme right and extreme left have no place, absolutely no place in the Oireachtas or in the government. You know, we need right, left and centre, but no extremes. Anyway, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. It was an interesting conversation. Please support the show. We need your help. Show us the money. No, we do need your help, because we can't afford to do this on our own. We don't get paid. And the only way we survive is by donations or you subscribing on our website, nileboylan.com. So please do it. Go to our website now if you can, nileboylan.com. All right. And don't forget, by the way, you're in with a chance of getting yourself a mug. We give away a mug every single day to somebody who subscribes. Where's my mugs? Oh, I don't have one handy there to show you. But anyway, it's an Nile Boylan mug, an Nile Boylan podcast mug, and we give one of those away every single day. So please go to our website, donate fiver if you want to, 5 million if you can. It'd be great. Please do it, otherwise we can't afford to run the show. Thank you to everybody, by the way, who got involved in the show today, and I really appreciate it. Pardon me, a bit of a cough. We should talk to you again tomorrow at 12.
The multi-award-winning Nile Boylan podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Nile Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.